Welcome to the Balanced Feminine Podcast.
My name is Katie Derry, and I'm an intuitive eating coach. Through my own journey with an eating disorder, I have found the connection between real food, community, and a positive relationship to oneself. I truly believe that women can find healing and peace with their bodies through the nourishment of real food and self-love.
And I'm Maddie Meschke. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner and certified personal trainer. After a long history of my own chronic digestive issues, with really no answers to be found, I finally was able to heal my own gut and now live symptom-free. I help other women to do the same while also aligning with their feminine power.
This is our show, centered on helping women find a balanced lifestyle that nourishes mind, body, and spirit.
We hope you enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Balanced Feminine Podcast. We're super excited for this episode. We have an amazing guest, Travis Day, who is a human design coach. Travis, you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Say hello.
Hello, everyone. thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here. And also having already read your chart. That's kind of super fun to do this. So yeah, my name's Travis. I read human design. I speak about human design, and it's just really a huge passion and definitely part of my purpose. So in my design, there's actually a channel called the Channel of the Transmitter that really says I have something to transmit to the world and to other people. So it just fits perfectly. I love it. It lights me up. It's my passion. That's what we're all supposed to go towards. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about like your background with human design and how you found it and how you got into it?
Yeah. I haven't gone back there in a long time. You know, I've literally only been doing readings a little over a year. So before I found human design, I was kind of a miserable person. I was depressed. I didn't really like myself very much. And it just stemmed from trying to be someone that I'm not, trying to look at this, you know, homogenized one size fits all approach to success. And like, I need to fit into that box. Like, how do I get there? And it didn't work very well. I was not very successful. I was exhausted. I was, you know, just not enjoying being here, really. And a lot of that has to do with my type, which I'm sure we'll get into. But when I found human design, what I love so much about it is it shows you who you are, how your energy works, how it operates. And for me, seeing who I'm not was really the important thing. So it can say, here's what energies you can lean into. Here's what energies you're not really supposed to use in this life. You know, they're inconsistent for you. They're not reliable. Forget about them. Let's focus on what you're here to do, your strengths and your purpose. And we can kind of let go of who we're not. And so for me to realize like, oh my God, and most of my clients, we're trying to live a life of who we're not, because we think there's something broken there, or we need to fix it, or why is it inconsistent? And, you know, so when I really got to see like, wow, I'm not all the things I've been trying to be, I let it go. And that's when flow just came into my life. Everything opened up, success started flowing towards me without really doing much. You know, here's money, here's clients, here's like the happiness you've been working for. Well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to work for it. I was supposed to just chill out, be myself. And then, you know, things just come to me. And that's, you know, really in design, we see so many people's charts are mechanically designed to be in flow and to be attractive and not really to, you know, work so freaking hard for not much in return.
That's amazing. Real quick for our listeners that don't really know much about human design, where does it come from? Like who, I know that must be like a long answer, but yeah, like a brief little overview.
Yeah. So human design came into the world in 1987. A Canadian man by the name of Ra Uruhu had an 8-day experience where pretty much a voice came to him. Mm-hmm. He says he was like penetrated by this voice. Yeah. And then over this 8 days, he wrote out the human design system. And we say it's one of the only really real Aquarian sets of knowledge out there, because it pulls information from all of these different ancient wisdoms from around the planet. So it's a synthesis of four of these ancient wisdoms. There is more involved to that, but it really comes from the Kabbalah, the tree of life. There's things pulled from that. The Hindu Brahmin chakra systems, which we call them energy centers in human design, and then Western astrology, and then the Chinese I Ching. So it takes like all of these energies, which are very different from different cultures, and it puts them together in this way that creates this amazing system where you really can see pretty much like the mapping of your genetic code and how you're meant to operate. It's like an operating manual for your life that you didn't know you were missing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bizarre when you see how the things click together, when you really get deep into it, it's like mind blowing of like how they, it's just like perfectly put together. These systems were meant to come together in this way. It's wild.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so cool to, I mean, it's also just really interesting that I feel like you said it's been around for a while, but now I feel like people are really starting to like hone in on it and it's becoming this huge thing.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, how long, you know, 1987, I was born.
Oh, that's not that long, actually.
The I Ching was, you know, considered one of the first written texts ever. You know, so like how long has astrology been around? And you see like, you know, how long all this stuff has been around. What, to me, when I think of like it, this came into the world in 1987, it's shocking how many people know about it already.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I thought that was that long. I thought you said 1920 for some reason. And I'm like, oh, that's a while ago. Yeah, that is wild.
And for anyone who's like not familiar with human design, when you really like sit down and start looking at the chart and seeing all the different channels and the centers and everything, like it's very complex and super amazing, you know, just to see how interwoven it all is. And I love
it. It's such a, what I really love about it in comparison to like astrology or other systems is really how logical it is and how like on the surface, it can be so beneficial. It can be so life changing without needing to know pretty much anything. Like I can give someone a 90-minute reading and it can completely change your life. You know, there's you could study it probably forever and never really get to the depth that it has to offer. But on the surface level, it's like, here, try this out. It's not a belief system. You don't have to like buy in or do mantras or, you know, whip yourself with sticks or anything. You know, it's like,
are there people out there doing that?
You've seen those like kind of like ancient meditation communities or whatever, where it's like, okay, you know, drink.
I know. Well, people
take lashings.
Yeah. I mean, I, one of the things that I love too, when I worked with you is that you record the session. So like, because it's a lot, like it's a lot of information to take in at first for someone that like really doesn't know. And you're kind of like, okay, what does this all mean? And it gave me the ability to like go back and like really be like, okay, like this is what is going on within me. And so,
yeah. People say the second time around, it kind of sinks in a little bit more. And the same for me, when I first came to the knowledge and started getting readings for myself, I was like, so, you know, you can get lost in the details a little bit. So it is great to like, okay, let me just try out the very basics and see how this goes.
You know?
And then, you know, a month later or so, I like to see, you know, everyone, he comes back to for a, like a check-in.
Oh, cool.
Okay, like, can we dive a little bit deeper? Or can you clarify what you meant when you said that? Or, you know, we can start kind of getting more into, okay, how does it actually feel in your body?
Yeah.
Because we get so lost in the mind stuff of it. Okay, what does this mean? What does that mean? Well, it doesn't really matter. Okay, let's put it into practice now. Like, what is your body feeling? Like, how it does, like, or what does a real world example look like when you're using your strategy?
Or So, like, I guess with that being said, can we kind of dive into the different types?
Yeah, sure. That's a great place to start. So in human design, there are four different types of people that you can be. So just like in astrology, when they kind of give you like this overarching, generalized, you know, Pisces or Aries or whatever, each type has, a specific aura to it. And there are some similarities within the types of how our energy actually operates. And in human design, when we talk about aura, we're not talking about just, you know, the energy you're putting out, because everybody is unique and everybody is different. But aura, we kind of define as like the mechanical way which your energy is designed to function. It's like mechanically, how are you meant to like interact with the world? How are you meant to interact with relationships or people or experiences or whatever? So each type has a very different way that their aura operates. So we have generators, which are the largest type at, I think, around 67 or 68% of humanity are generators. And if you're a generator, don't be upset that you're not unique and different, because every single chart, there is like, you know, as many people on the planet, you know, who are generators, that's how many different types of generators there are. So we get very, very nuanced and specific. It's just how your aura is operating.
I think we're both generators, right?
I'm pretty sure I'm a manifest.
Oh, you're an MG. And I'm a generator.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another type of generator is the manifesting generator. Your aura operates the same way. So that's why we don't really separate them. There's kind of a disconnect in the human design world on like Instagram and stuff, where people will say there's five different types. There's four different types, because your aura, even as a manifesting generator, operates as the generator aura. So that's why you're together in that. And then we have the projector, which is me. Mm-hmm. The projector is, I think, like 20 to 22%. Of humanity. We have the manifester, which is like 9 or 10%. And then we have the reflector, which is less than 1%. Which are very.
Have you ever met a reflector?
Yes, I've done reflector readings. I have a few friends that are reflectors,
really?
Who is really interesting to kind of, now that I have my human design knowledge, to go, oh.
Could you okay, now I'm so curious. What is a reflector like look like? What is
are they a unicorn? Do they have a horn?
Yeah.
They're normal. Well, not normal. I don't like the word normal. None of us are normal. They're people. You can't tell by just looking at them.
Well, right. But like
their energy is so. All the three types, the generator, the projector, and the manifestor, we're considered solar beings. We're kind of ruled by the sun in this life. The reflector is the only what we call lunar being. So they're very much more ruled by the moon and the moon's transit. So over this kind of like 29-day period, they're very affected by the energy of the moon. What's the moon doing? Where is it moving around? So whereas all the solar types, we're very conditioned by the people around us. The reflector is still conditioned by the people they're around for sure, but they feel those planetary movements more deeply than we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there's so much depth to get into with the reflector. The thing for me as a projector is I'm here to really guide energy types, which is the generator and the manifester, and other projectors. And I can understand what it feels like to be, you know, those three types. I have no idea what it feels like to be a reflector. I'll never be able to get there. So they're just like fascinating creatures to me. And at the same time, it feels like it's kind of out of reach for me to ever really be able to understand what their experience is, you know?
Yeah. They are like a unicorn.
They are the unicorn.
Yeah. If you think 1% sounds like a small number, if you put it at, you know, 1% of the population of the planet, there is, you know, a bunch of them out there. But yeah, they're really kind of, they seem out of reach for me to ever understand what it will be like, which I think is, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
So can you kind of like expand a little bit on like what it means to be the types, kind of like their strengths and like how to work.
So we can just, in context of aura, I think it does a lot of it justice, just knowing how your aura operates. And you can see when I run through these, you'll see the differences and why, you know, it can be so weird when we meet somebody, we kind of expect them to be like us because this is our lived experience. And before you kind of do any of this type of work, you just assume like, why doesn't everybody think like me? Why doesn't everybody, you know, feel the way I feel or whatever? Just because we're not really aware that there's these different ways our auras work. So the generator aura is considered an open and enveloping aura. So you have like this big, wide aura. And when you're lit up, when you're excited in your life, when you're satisfied with the work that you're doing, it's very attractive to be around the generator and you can take in a lot of people. So when people walk by you because you have this wide open aura, it's not very personal. Like they can get a great like energy boost from you just by kind of like brushing through you. You don't even have to focus on them. So they'll say the generator will envelop the person in front of them, meaning like your energy, your aura will kind of like wrap around them and bring them in towards you. You kind of like envelop that other person. So you'll envelop the person in front of you as much as you'll envelop the person behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be personal because you just have this kind of wide aura and you're pulling everything towards you. So you're very magnetic in that sense. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about that? Because I am a generator, so I wonder if like my lived experience has anything to do with this, but I feel, and I know this has something to do with like my moon being in Cancer as well, but I take on energy really easily from the people around me. And sometimes I have a really hard time deciphering what's mine and what someone else's. Yeah. Would that kind of be in that same, does that have something to do with my energy just like engulfing?
Totally. Okay. Totally. And when we get, you know, when you get deeper, when you look at your chart, you'll see there's 9 different centers on your chart. If you have a center open, you're actually, that's where you're pulling in the energy of the other people and then amplifying it in your own body. So we can see literally what energies are you going to be most affected by the people around you.
Oh.
And when you think about the generator aura, you don't really have much protection because you have this wide aura and you're taking everybody in, whether you really want to or not. So that's why they say for the generator, it's very important to be discerning with like who's around you. What circles are you rolling with? You know, like what communities are you a part of? Because when you're there, you're taking that in whether you want to or not. You can't decide, okay, I'm not going to take this person's energy and I just want to take this person's energy in, because you have an open enveloping aura and you're pulling all that stuff towards you.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in humans, that we can see.
Oh, sorry. I'm just like so intrigued right now. Yeah. Does that have also anything to do with being an empath? Would an empath relate more to one certain type than another? Or?
That's a great question. I think we all can be empaths. And again, that goes back to what centers you have colored in or not. So when we have a center colored in, anybody can pull up your chart. If you're listening right now, you can go pull up your chart. And this is, again, why I love human design, because you don't really need to know much to see, you know, where you're going to be affected by other people. So if you have a center colored in, that's what we call defined. That means that in you consistently operating 24/7, it's something you can rely on. That's an energy that you possess. But it means that you can't really feel any other energy in that center. So take, for example, the emotional center, what we kind of think of as empaths. If your emotional center is colored in, you ride what we call the emotional wave. So 24/7, you're kind of going from high to low, up and down, pleasure to pain, you know, whatever the case may be. Emotions are chemistry for you. If you have that center open, you're what we consider a non-emotional. When you get around the emotional person, you are pulling in their emotional energy into your body and then amplifying it. Ooh. So they might be a 3 out of 10 upset or sad about something. You get around that person, now all of a sudden you're a 6 out of 10 upset or sad. And now you, as the non-emotional, you think you're emotional. You think you're emotionally unstable. You think, you know, you're the one blowing things out of proportion, but really you're just amplifying the people around you. And the funny thing about that emotional center is 50% have it colored in, 50% have it open. So, and we're very attracted to each other. So that's, I love hitting on that center, because especially in my readings and the clients I work with, it's always the non-emotionals who think we're the unstable emotional ones, you know? So when you become aware of that, this is what an empath really looks like when it comes to emotions. So when you start to feel something with that center open, you can say, instead of, oh my God, I'm going to blow this thing out of proportion, you can look at that person and be like, hey, are you feeling frustrated? Are you anxious about something? Like, what's going on? You start to be the one who can tap into other people's feelings, because you know, oh, this isn't coming from me anymore. This is coming from somebody else. So if you take that, like, what is an empath? We kind of always associate it with emotions. You can take every center of your body graph, and whichever one's open, I like to say you can be empathic in that center. So if it's the open heart, this is about willpower. This is about, you know, keeping commitments and proving something and making promises. If you have an open heart, you can be very empathic in, you know, who can we trust? Who's going to really keep their promises? You know, who has a healthy ego? Who has a healthy sense of, you know, that type of energy? So you get to kind of go to school in all of those open areas and become very wise in all those areas, which I think is, you know, what we consider to be an empath.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm like, okay, I have a question. Oh, this interview is going to be so long. I hope you have time.
Buckle up.
So, okay. So she's a generator. I'm a manifesting generator. So what are the key differences between the two? And I know it's hard because we don't have our charts pulled up, but yeah.
No, that's okay. Cause again, on the surface level stuff, we can get pretty, you know, you can just take a lot. So yeah, when we compare the manifesting generator and the generator, really the manifesting generator, you kind of have two energies in you. Like you have some manifestor energy and you have some generator energy, kind of like a combo of the two, but you still have this open enveloping aura that's pulling things towards you. And it comes from your sacral center. So this is still why you guys are lumped into the same category.
Yeah.
On the surface, we say like the manifesting generator, you're more non-linear in a sense where like you move a little bit faster. You kind of like will pull from, you know, a bunch of different stuff. You might go like A, F, D, B, whereas the generator...
I would say that's true.
Yeah. You can be like a little bit scattered.
Oh, you don't say.
Which I always say, hey, that's not, you know, these words that we have homogenized to be positive or negative connotation, whatever, you know, I call the manifesting generators like the energetic overachievers, where I look at some of you guys, I'm like, how the hell do you do what you do? You know, Tony Robbins is an MG. You
know,
his workshops and writing a book and doing charity work and, you know, whatever he can bounce all over the place as long as it's satisfying him. And as long as he enters it into correctly, he'll be successful in those things. So, yeah.
Sorry, I just had a really, really, I really need to ask this. Yeah. So as you said that, literally look at me, I'm all over the place. As you said that, so in my head, like I'm always like, oh, I want to do this and this and this and this. But then there's, and you had mentioned the ego before, how do you decipher between is this ego or is this my authentic archetype, like calling this in? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's kind of a different topic.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to, but that's when we start talking about, okay, each type has a strategy and an authority.
Okay.
And when you boil human design down, the very basics, the surface level, all it comes down to is decision-making.
Okay.
That's it. How do I make decisions for my own life? And we've been so conditioned to mentally make decisions for ourselves. You know, the mind is everything. And, you know, all this kind of like plan it out and go, you know, go get it and just do it and work harder and, you know, have that 5-year goal and like step by step, whatever. That's all mental stuff that we're making up that we think we want.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Human design is so amazing because it says, this is our personality. This is who we think we are, is what we're conscious of. But on the other side, we have a body and the body has its own energy. It's complete. So like in astrology, you get your astrological readout, who you are. This is what we resonate to. In human design, your body has its own astrological reading that you may be unconscious of. It's kind of what we learn over time. So this is what human design says for decision-making for our own life has to come from our body. It knows where it wants to go. It is connected to the earth in the way that our mind is not. So when we let go of, you know, am I making this decision because I'm trying to prove myself? Am I making this decision because I don't, you know, I'm avoiding truth and confrontation? Or, you know, there's all these kind of themes that we make decisions out of that are incorrect for us that kind of lead to a disaster. So human design really shows you how to drop into your body and let your unique, what we call authority, your body's wisdom in its ability to make decisions for your own life. And so for me, that was probably confusing to people, but for me, if you're making a decision in your life and you can rationalize it, you're in your head. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to go well. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Most of the time, no. So if you're saying like, I'm going to do this because it's going to lead to this, 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 and this, your mental decision making. So human design is all about like, how do I drop into my body and trust my intuition to lead me on this path to my purpose? That's going to be extremely satisfying. And a lot of times it's scary because, hey, it's supposed to be a surprise. Mm. We don't freaking know what our life is supposed to be like. And that's the beauty of life of like, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
Right.
I'm on a podcast talking about human design. Tell me that 2 years ago, I would have told you you're freaking nuts. You know, like I don't know what's going to happen in my life when I really lean into that unique authority that each design has. So that's kind of the beauty of it. I would say when you're making a decision, if you can rationalize it or there's a because behind it, you're not in your authority.
Oh, I really love that because that actually I mean, as cheesy as it sounds, it brings me back to a conversation me and Katie were having, and she was asking me, like, how did you know that Davis was like your husband? And I was like, well, it's that cheesy old saying everyone says, like, when you know, but there's literally no way to describe it. And that's just like, you just feel that. But as soon as you have to justify it in your mind about someone who you're dating, like, we're kind of talking about someone she's dating. I'm like, if you have to like start making justifications, then it's not right. Like, as soon as you need to justify anything there, it's, you know, maybe it's not quite the same thing, but for me, that's what it brought up.
I'm over here forcing relationships that aren't meant to be.
Yep. Join the club.
Yeah.
Join the club. Yeah.
No, it's the truth. Like, well, that's true. Yeah.
That's the hard, one of the hardest things in relationship too, because like, this is so toxic, I think, is when people come up with these lists of things they want in a person, of like, okay, they have to look like that. They have to have this kind of job. They have to make this much money, like blah, 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 go down the list for, you know, it's like all survival stuff. It's all like living in this scarcity mindset of like, I want this person because these are the roles they're going to fulfill for me, or this is how we're going to be secure together, or, you know, whatever it is, it's all just a bunch of mental bullshit, where when you start using your authority and that person comes along and you're like, oh, he's a foot shorter than me, or, you know, he didn't look the way I wanted, or, her job is this or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter if your authority is saying yes for you guys, like that's going to bring you satisfaction in that relationship. And again, it doesn't mean that it has to last forever. There's no timetable on this stuff of like, it's going to be the one forever, anything like that. Right. It just means we're going to enter into it correctly. There's going to be satisfaction in it for me, or there's going to be some very important lessons that we're both going to learn, and it can be such a positive, uplifting experience.
No, absolutely. And I think, I mean, it raises such a good point. I think your body knows, like, without even, like, I've been in so many instances before. Actually, the other night we were talking about when I was working a job that was super toxic, and I was saying to Maddie, I was like, yeah, I was like having eczema, and like, I had all this rash that was covering my body, and I couldn't wear shirts or clothes because it pins and needles. And she was like, you had shingles. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, that's stress induced. And she was like, your body was like literally screaming at you, telling you like, you're not in the right environment. This isn't aligned with you and you need to get out. And you just were like, oh, I'm going to ignore this.
Rationalize this one away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I have to stay here because I committed to a year, and this will look good on my resume, and this and this. And it's like, no, fuck that. Your body will tell you. It knows.
It knows, you know. But think about how many things it's doing as we speak that we don't know. But like, you cut, I still think about like, you cut yourself and it fucking heals itself.
Yeah.
It heals it. People are like, what's going on there? I don't, you know.
Right.
It's just like, they're so complex, and there's so much that we just don't know.
Yeah.
And so when we try to override it, that's where all of our problems come from, especially in relationship and sex and job and money and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's our mind trying to take over this beautiful, amazing, intelligent thing that we could not possibly understand how it operates.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's so true. That's incredible. You've worked with people like, and have you seen them like really hone in and like use human design and be able to like transform their lives and like how they operate? And
the first, really what comes up first is fear.
Really?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
It's when you think about, you know, whatever age you come to this knowledge.
Yeah.
Whatever life you've kind of built before, it feels like you've kind of built it on top of lies, on top of this kind of homogenized, this is what I should be doing in order to look a certain way, or in order to make a certain amount of money, in order to be in the relationship that is normal, that everyone sees and thinks, ooh, they're good, or, you know, whatever the case may be. When you come to this and you realize, like, and everything I tell people, it's not like they're hearing it for the first time. It's like a soul resonance. Like, you know, deep down, like, yes, this is me. This is just a permission slip that you were right all along. But when you think about that, you're like, holy shit. If I start operating as myself and operating correctly, man, I might have to burn some bridges. I might have to end some relationships. I might have to pick a new career.
Right.
Which is like, whoa, the money issue is like the major one, you know, how can I possibly listen to my body when I have physical needs, I have monetary needs, I got to pay my bills, you know, all that fear kind of comes up. So you don't have, like, people say like, you can go slow and whatever, like you can burn it down and go fast, you know, whichever is correct for you.
Yeah.
But slowly start turning the tides towards like just making decisions that are yeses for you, that light you up, that really bring the satisfaction, because you guys are both generators. Mm-hmm. You know, how many, and it's not really about gaining so much, but like how many no's can I get rid of? You know, the generator conditioning is like, I need to sacrifice myself for other people. I need to sacrifice myself for my job. I need to give my energy away for free because that's the good thing to do. I'm here to help people, whatever. So for you guys and the generator, it's really like, how many no's can I get rid of? I don't really want to do this thing anymore. Even if it's like going to get coffee with a friend, I don't feel like getting coffee. Doesn't mean I'm a bad friend. I'm just a no to it right now. Yeah. Hey, if you say no, who knows what's going to pop into your field all of a sudden. Maybe you bump into someone, you know, you never would have met, or maybe an opportunity comes at you just from having a boundary and saying like, this isn't correct for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, because your body isn't lit up and it doesn't have the energy. There's all, you know, then we can start to get a lot more yeses to flow towards us and a lot more stuff that's really going to kind of turn the tables on living the life we want to live.
Yeah, I was telling Maddie the other day, I was like, since leaving my recent relationship, like all these, after like saying no to it and like the energetics around being in a relationship that's not serving you, it's like weird how things start to like align themselves. And then I like was like, you know what, I'm ready to do something different, like move to California. And then my friend was like, hey, I need someone to sell at my place. And I'm like, and it's just like one thing after the next just kept aligning. And it was like, this is really weird. So
yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But it feels fucking good because it's like, it's effortless. Like you're not forcing something that isn't meant to be. And that's where you can tell the difference is like, I didn't really have to put much effort into these things that kind of like came to me naturally. It was just like the universe is just aligning it because you like drew a boundary and you're now putting in things that like serve you.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like more relaxed?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I am dabbling with microdosing on psilocybin. So maybe that could be it. And I'm not sure if I'm legally allowed to say that, but.
I don't know. Is there a podcast, please?
No, but it does feel like things are just naturally aligning as they should be. And I feel I'm someone that does struggle with anxiety. And I think it feels like there isn't that anxiety around things, which is, I think when you're in alignment with what you truly are supposed to be, that's how it's supposed to feel.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah.
That's what they say in human design. You can tell, you know, how long someone's been in it. Ra would say he would just see a relaxation come into the body of the people who have been experimenting for a long time. Mm-hmm. The stress just kind of leaves, you know, when we're operating from the mind, we do create so much resistance. And that's the, you know, this idea of like, just push harder, just work harder, you know, all that stuff. Hey, that stresses the crap out of our bodies. You know, I had all kinds of health issues. I had gut issues and skin stuff and, you know, all kinds of stuff. My body was so stressed.
Yeah.
The second I found out what my type was and just chilled the fuck out, like my body's never felt more relaxed.
Right. You
know, my health issues went away.
Yeah.
You know, like things just, yeah, it's like a relaxation that I didn't know it was possible.
Oh, totally. I mean, Maddie, like the nutritionist over here, she'll be like, would it totally agree with that. Like when you start aligning yourself in a healthy way, like, cause your gut, your body, it's all connected.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you said you're a projector, correct?
Yeah.
Do you mind kind of elaborating on
projector? Yeah.
I do see some of your pictures, like a meme or something, or it'll be something and you're like, projector. And I'm like, I wonder what that means.
Yeah. So the hard part for us when we come into the world, there's a joke that's like the projector comes in, or the projector is born with a sign that says help wanted, because we're not here to work. And we don't want to work ever. Our purpose is not in what we do. Mm. It's not in our productivity. It's not in our energetic output, because we're actually considered non-energy beings. We have energy, obviously, but we're inconsistent in that. And we're really here to be guides. We're really here to be able to see into other people in this very deep way, and then be able to like tap into efficiency. Okay, how could you use that energy better? Did you try it this way? We love systems. We love knowledge. We love figuring things out. We love knowing how other people work. That's really the gift of the projector. But when we're, you know, growing up in this society, that's not really valued. You know, I was taught, like, as especially as a man, my worth is really on my level of productivity. Mm. You know, how much work can I do? Like, I thought, I looked up to the entrepreneurs that were like, oh, just crushed an 18-hour day, you know, putting in that hard work for my business that's now making six figures, whatever. You know, like, those are the kind of role models I looked up to, because I knew in myself I didn't have it, and I thought I was broken, and I thought I needed to fix it. So the projector for me, like, really, we are born with this sense of like, shit, am I going to be able to keep up with this pace of the world? You know, like, there's something unconsciously in us that just knows, like, this isn't right for us. This pace is unsustainable. And so for me, like, I really just tried to keep going and keep going and keep going. So when I found out who, you know, I was a projector, my aura is a focused and penetrating aura. So I am built for one person at a time. It's very hard for the projector to split their energy in group scenarios or even between two others, because we're supposed to be focused in on one person. When I realized, like, wow, that is my gift. I'm very good at that. You know, when I was out like partying with friends and like hitting on girls, we would all kind of like look at each other's strategies of like, you know, how people went about it. And I was always the one that was like super deeply like immersed in conversation and like really seeing her and like really like being attentive and listening and like giving like all of my attention. Well, there's no other way I could really do that.
Yeah. You know?
But I always thought, you know, now reframing it as like, okay, that's my gift. I'm not here for productivity. Mm-hmm. When I let that go, that's when my opportunity started to come to me. Because as a projector, when you're pushing, when you're reaching for the success, when you're going after clients, we're literally pushing everything away from us. Wow. It's like, it's keeping the success at a distance. And so when you stop doing that, when you sit back, you focus on yourself, you study, we're here to like master this a system of some sort. When you really focus on expanding yourself, mm-hmm. That's when the opportunities flow towards you. Wow. And you don't have to do anything, which
you've
is fucked
seen
up.
That because and you felt like you've seen that, you felt that like as soon as you started doing this work and becoming more aligned with who you were, like it just things now.
Within a week.
No way.
Yeah. I went through a very, like, my story is kind of different because I got to a point where my body was literally about to shut down.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to be a CEO of a company I had started. I was dating someone that was not aligned for me. I had role models I was looking up to that were very type A, you know, go-getter types. Like, I was just literally lost. Mm-hmm. And so my body was shut. Like, I was working on my business once, and the person I was living with at the time came up to me and they're like, "What's wrong with your eye?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "Yeah, there's something up with your eye." And I was like, "Oh, I've been staring at screens for a while. It's probably just red or whatever." My blood vessel had burst in
me.
It looked like I had a fucking like bloody eye, you know?
Oh, and so,
like, this was the signs my body was trying to show me, like, dude, you're not operating correctly. So I kind of got to the place where I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
I'm fucking done. I'm not going to try to live this way. I know it's not correct. We all know it's not correct. I'm just going to be me, and I'm not going to sacrifice myself anymore. And I don't care if I wind up broke, alone on the streets.
Yeah.
I'm fucking done. And really, it was when that kind of mindset shift hit where I started noticing all these opportunities coming to me, and all the more money and more clients and more alignment just started flowing towards me. And then I found Human Design a few months later, and it was just this huge, like, yes, this is everything Human Design was telling me to do. I had kind of already started doing on my own, just out of pure exhaustion of my body, just, you know, not being able to go any longer.
Yeah. Well, and so you're a surfer. So it's interesting that, because surfing is such a like fluid, like just free sport, I feel like. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a surfer, so I don't know. I have dated one and they're interesting human beings, but I'd love to know what he is in his human design. I'm kidding. But so, and it's such a beautiful sport because I feel like you are completely one with nature and you're not able to, like, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like surfing is how do you see it tie in to your human design?
It ties into everyone's human design because why do we all love nature? You know, right. I don't care who you are. You love, like, people love nature. Mm-hmm. And when you're out in nature, it gives you room to not think.
Yeah.
And especially surfing for me was like my saving grace growing up because I was so anxious and so mentally like hating on myself and I'm not good enough and all those stories. When I was in the water, when you're in the water and a fucking wave's coming at you, you don't have time to think I hate myself. Right. You're just like, shit, okay, I got to do something here to like survive through this wave, you know? Right. So it's really like when we're in nature and you're in that kind of flow, you're just operating with your body, with your intuition.
Yeah.
And the mind gets to take a back seat. You know, some of my, you know, I have run a surf business for, you know, 4 or 5 years and I teach people and take people out there. And the funny thing is I get so many engineers, I get so many lawyers, I get so many people who their businesses are so mental and it causes so much anxiety that they don't even care about surfing necessarily, but just sitting out in the water is like a life-changing experience.
Oh yeah.
Because they're like, oh my God, just getting past the waves, you kind of leave that energy of like the do, work kind of world that we live in. You're just past it. You're in a different environment and the environment is like, there's no expectations of you. You can be yourself. You can sit out here and do nothing and just be and enjoy. Yeah. And that is just like being in touch with our body, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it like when I was in a relationship, my ex was very driven, like a very driven person. And then the second he got into the water, it was just like the chillest human being. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like this is your place in the world. Like you're meant, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think surfing is an incredible sport just because I think it really teaches you to be in the moment.
100%. And it gets so fucking cheesy. Like you can take so many life lessons from surfing and like apply it to everyday life, you know? Yeah. And the funny thing for me is like really before the pandemic hit, like surfers were like undesirables. You know? Like you were flaky, inconsistent. You can't trust them. They don't work the 9 to 5. Like we're very much dependent on the cycles of nature. When the waves are good, we don't get to decide when that is. Hey, it's good. It's good. You got to go, you know, like we're running on a different clock, but it wasn't valuable in this world we had created. So when COVID hit and like the whole world stopped and we all got to take a deep breath and slow down and start to think about our priorities, my surf business probably quadrupled.
No way.
People looking at it and be like, ooh, wait a second. They know something that's going to help me survive, help me live a life that I really want to live now that I really got to take a deep breath and, you know, look at how unhappy I was trying to do all the time. So it's funny to see kind of the shift of like, wow, surfing is like way more cool now. It's way more acceptable. Oh, yeah. It's way more like, hey, they might know something that we don't know.
Oh, so
I joke like I've been working on my intuition and my abilities, you know, my whole life, and I didn't really do it.
How long have you been a surfer? Or were you like a kid when you?
Yeah, my dad taught me when I was young. I think I was around 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
When I started. And then,
And then how have your parents, like your family and friends reacted to like this transition of like living more in alignment with who you are through human design?
Yeah, it's been so interesting to watch. Whereas before I felt like I was trying to prove myself and like, you know, be somebody to like, you know, be acceptable in my family or whatever. But the projector strategy is to wait for the invitation. So we know things we want to guide. We're the kings and queens of unsolicited advice because we just think like, why is everybody so stupid? Like if they just listened to what I said, they would be successful or they would, you know, transform their life or whatever. Doesn't work like that. We have to wait to be invited to offer our gifts and offer our guidance. So for me, it was so funny to see, you know, all of a sudden when I stopped trying, you know, I did have family come towards me and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're like, this is crazy. Like, this is so cool. And like, that like really piqued their interest in a much more like honest and authentic way. Instead of like, oh, how's your business going? Or like, you know, what are you doing now? It was actually like, I could tell it was coming from a deep place of like, what do you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, what, you know, can you guide me in a way, right, which is my purpose and feels really, really good. So it's just, it's fun to see what invitations come to me and what people are interested in what I'm doing, not because I'm going out to tell everybody what I'm doing or even care if they're interested, but just because how lit up I am about it and how passionate I am about it, then the invitations come in. So it's really interesting to see who comes towards me now.
Yeah.
Who I'm chasing anymore.
Yeah. That's awesome. My husband is a projector. So, so he should basically kind of guide me to do what I'm supposed to do. And then I act on it then. Right.
Yeah, you guys can, I mean, the projector generator relationship is such a beautiful relationship. And yeah, there's so much, support and cool ways you can support each other in that dynamic.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool.
But remember, you have to invite him. I think of projectors a lot of times get stuck in like, we're always guiding, we're always the one who's here to be the therapist or to, you know, help people with their problems. So, you know, what I've really been leaning into lately is like, I need to be respected first. The projector needs to be recognized first and then invited. As a, hey, can you help me right now? Do you have the energy? Because sometimes we just don't have the energy. Yeah. So it's very important for the projector to be respected in that way of their a non-energy being and to be asked, hey, can you help me out in this scenario?
Yeah, I love that. That's good advice. So.
And when he wants to constantly guide you or give you advice and you don't want to hear it and you don't need it, be like, hey, I didn't invite you here. You know, like, yeah. I don't need your opinion.
You're out of alignment right now.
As far as relationships go, is there two like combinations that you see that don't work? Or is that just like, is that really not something like it's just learning how to be, in flow with one another? I don't know if that's the way to.
So every chart is so unique and so nuanced, and types, you know, whatever. I used to think about that question too.
Yeah.
But really, if you're tapped into your body's intelligence, if you're tapped into your intuition, your authority, the way that you're making decisions with your body, you can look terrible on paper and your gut is a hell yes to this person. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that to me is such a mental thing of like, okay, ooh, let me pull this person's chart. Let's see what our connection looks like. You know, do we have chemistry? Is there
right, you know,
issues that are coming up? And your gut the whole time is like, yes, 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 I want this person. And here we go with our mind trying to rationalize either why we should or we shouldn't do it. So
right,
for me, I just say like, hey, if your authority is a yes and you enter into that relationship correctly, you're going to learn something. It's going to be part of your life for a reason.
Yeah.
And so there's no baiting by design or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. See, I'm a Gemini and a Cancer, and I'm usually based like, I'm like, oh, run away from a Virgo or something. So I was wondering if it's like the same thing, but not at all. But I was just wondering. So for people that don't like have never done their human design, how do you like, you have to have your birth date and then they can just go online and do it, right?
Yeah. So you have your birthday, your time. It's very important to have an exact time because nuanced stuff does change by the minute.
Yeah.
So you can get your exact time. That's great. And then location.
Okay.
Those are the three things you need. And then human design generates your chart based on all that information. Mm-hmm. And then it actually generates your body's chart, which is 88 days before you were born. That's when human design says your soul enters the body. Mm-hmm. And this is the day that your body gets imprinted with its own astrological readout. So your body has its own imprinting of consciousness. The time of your birth, when you were born, this is when your personality gets imprinted. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, comes together to create your unique chart. And I would go to either, and you can link these geneticmatrix.com or jovianarchive.com to get your free chart. There's some other ones out there that have changed kind of some of the language. They've kind of gone off course a little bit, in my opinion, of the original knowledge that's so profound. I mean, some stuff gets lost in translation. So I really recommend those two.
And then the amazing part of having you read it is all of it making sense.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah.
I can guide you.
Yeah. I know we're running kind of long, but do you have time to dive into the reflector and the manifestor still?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I would love to hear your perspective on both.
Yeah, I know we've jumped all over the place, which I love.
You know, yeah,
for strategic, whatever. Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. Whichever one you want to dive into first.
Yeah. Well, quickly, I just wanted to briefly touch on the generator because I said the manifesting generator, and then we never got to the different.
Oh yeah.
Which for me, so the generator can be a little bit more linear, where the man gen can be a little more nonlinear. So the generator kind of is more of a step by step, level by level, like pushing something forward. You're really here to master that kind of one thing. Doesn't mean you have to do the same thing, you know, all the time or whatever. You can definitely have different passions and all that kind of stuff. But you're a little bit slower with your speed and a little bit more like step by step, a little bit more level by level. So that's kind of the difference between in a very generalized way.
That's interesting because I feel as a generator, I'm all over the place sometimes.
Oh, I would say you're so linear.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. I feel like I just am like, maybe it's just like lack of direction or I don't know what it is, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to do this. And then I'll be like, but maybe I need to be doing this. So I don't know.
Yeah. And that gets, again, more nuanced. We have what we call the G center, which is your center of identity. If you have an open G center and you're not living correctly, the kind of conditioning that comes through is like always looking for love and direction in your life. Mm-hmm. I need to define myself. I need to know where I'm going. I need to love somebody. I need someone to love me. You know, this is the openness that we feel is there's something broken there. So what we would say for the open G center is, you know, we call it the costume closet. You're someone who really isn't ever here to define yourself. You can try on different identities all the time. You can kind of be a chameleon. So place is very important to you. Like, you know, the people around you are very important to you because you can kind of take on the identities of your environment and of the people around you. So that's just something that came.
No, yeah, that is definitely something I do. Yeah.
And then what's the next one?
Either the reflector or the manifestor.
Yeah, we can go the manifestor. So the projector has that focused, penetrating, absorbing aura. So it's very important for us to discern within those one-on-one relationships. That's when we're really being conditioned. The generator is that open, enveloping aura. You know, your environment, the people around you can condition you in that way. Then when we get to the manifestor, their aura is considered closed and repelling.
Oh,
not repelling in a way of like you repel people or like you're a repelling person, that sometimes the language can be very kind of abrupt for people to hear that. But the manifestor is here to be impactful. So they're the people that walk in a room and you just know they're there. All of a sudden, there's this kind of like, ooh, what are they going to do? Because everything they do is going to impact us in this way. And so they have their aura. They're the only type who is really here to initiate. Who is here to like have what we call like these creative urges, like something comes in, they just want to do something because they want to do it. They don't really necessarily know why. They're here to, without waiting for anybody, without whatever, they can go get it done. That's the manifestor. And think about that. They're only 9% of the population, but that's kind of how everybody's conditioned. So that's really correct for them. And they have a closed and repelling aura as this protective mechanism to keep people out of their way. Because a lot of issues with the manifestor is they're so impactful, people try to control them. People try to get in their way. They try to say, oh, no, you can't do that. Or, you know, why don't you, you know, whatever the case may be, they can be controlled. So a lot of times manifestors have these issues of like, I'm not going to tell anybody anything because I don't want the resistance.
Yeah.
And I don't want people trying to control me in my life. So it can be very lonely feeling, you know, it can be this sense. You know, especially when we talk about manifestor women of like, why am I not the receptive one? What, you know, why don't I get hit on as much as my friends do at a bar or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's because there's like, whoa, there's impact there.
Yeah.
Or there's strength there. So we say for the manifestor, like they're the initiator, like go get what you want for them. You know, that's correct. And when they're doing what they truly love, that's when they magnetize people. that's when they pull in people to kind of jump on whatever project they're wanting to manifest, and take it over and see it through to the end. So a lot of times we'll say manifestors aren't necessarily finishers in this life. They're really here to start things and to bring new things into the world. So that's why for manifestors and man-gens, this conditioning of like, you have to finish what you started can be very detrimental to you. Because a lot of times you're just here to start something and then you'll get bored and, you know, move on to the next thing that you want to start. So yeah, that's the manifestor aura. Very different feeling than the other two, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And the reflector. So the reflector has what we call this like sampling aura, or the Teflon aura is what it's been referred to. So a cool analogy for them is they're kind of like a lake. And all the other types are like stones that are like skimming across the lake. So we kind of like dip into the aura and then we're out. Then we dip in and then we're out. So they're kind of like moving around their world, their environment, taking little samples of everybody else's energies, but they don't get stuck with them. They can take the sample in and then kind of let it go. So this is why we say conditioning for them isn't as important as those planetary transits are, because you would think that they're the most vulnerable. They have no centers colored in. They're all white. They're completely open in their design. So you would think, oh my God, you're conditioned by all these different centers. They're actually the most resilient type in that way, because they don't take it in personally and they don't hold on to it. They can kind of take it in, sample it, and then let it go.
Wow.
That's super cool.
That's the unicorn.
That's the unicorn. Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing.
This is amazing. I think we're going to have you come back on.
Yeah.
I had like so many other questions and I'm like, there's just so much here and it's just so awesome. I love it.
When you first come and you pull up your chart, it's just so cool to see how your aura works, because when you learn to align your aura, that's when things just start to flow.
Yeah.
And that's like, it can be such a quick transition or yeah.
Yeah. It's also like there's so much to it and to learn and to just like take in. So it's cool to have someone like you be like, okay, I can, you know, break this down and make this easier for you. So
definitely.
Cool.
Well,
thank you so much for coming on. We always love to leave and ask our guests if there's any like life advice or anything that any advice you would offer our listeners to kind of live more in alignment with themselves and
love yourself.
We love that.
Yep. I think the most transformational thing for me is like, how can I love myself more today? You know, how can I let go of all that conditioning that says I need to be somebody else that's obviously not aligned? And so really knowing my chart, knowing my design and resonating with it so deeply, it's just like, how do I have more love for who I came here to be? If it doesn't fit in, if it doesn't look like the way it's supposed to look, if it's, you know, blah, 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 the stuff of the mind. So that's for me is just like, man, just love yourself and you know, what's correct for you will come towards you. And have fun too. Yeah. Don't take it too seriously. These aren't rules by any means. Like a lot of times I'm like, am I having fun with this?
Like, yeah.
Am I enjoying this? Okay. If I'm not, then what the hell's the point? You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Travis, for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, Travis. How can our listeners find you if they want to work with you or just learn more about what you do?
Yeah. So right now, Instagram, I'm travis.day on Instagram. I have a new website that will be coming early next month that I'm super excited about, and there'll be more details of like what my sessions entail. So right now it's very kind of just like bare bones, where you can book a 60 or 90 or family or couples or, you know, whatever. So it's in my link tree on my Instagram.
Perfect. Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been so incredible. I loved it.
can't wait to come back.
Yes.
No, we're definitely going to have you back.
We'll have our charts up and you can read
it. Yeah. I would love that.
Awesome.
All
right.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening. And you can find us on Instagram at the Balanced Feminine Podcast, or separately, my account is at @Katie.Dairy.
And you can find me at Maddie Meschke. And make sure to leave us a review. And if you think that this episode would benefit someone, make sure to share that with them. And we'll see you guys all next episode. Bye, guys.